Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles, turn to Psalm 26. Psalm 26. 26th Psalm. Hard to believe it's Thanksgiving week. This Thursday is Thanksgiving. It's a great day. I love the Thanksgiving holiday. I love all the holidays. I love it because of a lot that goes along with it. All the fringe benefits, that being turkey and dressing and mashed potatoes and gravy and homemade pie and, you know, all those extra trimmings. That's a good day for me. Get to watch a football game. Sometimes the Lions even win. It has happened on occasion. We have a lot to be thankful for as children of God, a lot to give God glory for. And it might be, and it's, there's a danger that we just don't get it. Last Sunday night, I told, I'm not always good at telling jokes. I kind of inherited a little bit of what my dad has. My dad, well, time and again, through my life, my dad is a great storyteller, but he would start laughing at his own joke before he'd ever get to the punchline. It happened again and again. And he'd be laughing so hard, we had a hard time hearing what he was saying. And pretty soon he's squeaking, and everybody's laughing because he's laughing, and you never really hear the joke, but everybody has a good time. Well, Tuesday morning, I went down to a preacher's fellowship in Alpena. Lo and behold, they called for preachers from the floor, and I knew it. They called me at 11 o'clock. I slipped out just, they told me at 10 o'clock, and so I slipped outside, went in the parking lot, and put out that prayer alert. Pray for me. I'm going to be preaching this morning to some preachers. Well, I got up. Thank you for praying. It went well, and I told the joke I told on Sunday night, that lame joke about the guy that was remodeling his farmhouse in Pickford and found a lot of you heard this. Stop me if you heard it. No, don't stop me. All right? So he tore apart the wall, and in the wall he found a full skeleton. They thought, man, what in the world? So the police came, they sent it to forensics, and what they found was it was the 1959 hide-and-seek champion from Pickford High School. Well, it went over a lot better than that down there. They laughed. They thought it was so funny. It's a lame joke. I know it is. And they thought it was so funny. And afterwards at dinner, we're having fried chicken, and some of the preachers came in late, and they, hey, tell Brother So-and-so that joke. You know, I said, okay. So I started to tell it again. Instead of when I got to the punchline, instead of saying 1959 Pickford High School hide-and-seek champion, I said 1959 Pickford High School spelling bee champion. And I'm the only one that laughed. And I looked around. And the truth is, if you don't get the punchline, you don't have anything. You know, and that's the truth in life as well. If you don't get the punchline, I mean, get what it's about. You can kind of go through life and do your own thing and get to the end of the life, and it's going to fall flat, just flat. And you realize, man, I wasted it. I wasted it. And the devil has given a lie that is everybody seems to be, not everybody, but so many today seem to be believing it. Now, I want you to know that, and I know what you've heard, but the truth is, it does pay to live a righteous life. I know what the devil tells you, but there is a better life than living a life that is just all wrapped up in the world and the lust of the flesh that we heard about this morning in adult Sunday school. The devil tells you, man, you sell out for God and you live for God and you're going to give up too much. That's not true. That is not true. In fact, you'll gain everything by living for God. The devil will tell you, man, you just surrender to God and you won't have any fun. That's not true. The truth is, if you surrender to God, you live a life of high adventure every day. The devil will tell you, man, you surrender to God and you'll never be happy. That's not true. You'll have the joy of the Lord if you would sell out to God. What is happening in too many Christian lives today, and it's always been this way, and I see it all around me, and I see it in my own life. We've all experienced it. There are too many Christians living a conflicted life. You say, what do you mean by that, preacher? They're living a life, they got born again, they got saved, they were blood-bought, transported from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. They belong to God. They got salvation. It's a wonder. It's the greatest thing in the world, the greatest thing of all of eternity. Their name is written down. They know they're saved. And then they start to live like the world, according to their worldly fleshly lusts. And the result is they're conflicted and lash out at people around them that are maybe trying to help them or trying to live right. Maybe they really have no ill against them at all, but they lash out at them in order to make themselves feel, they're conflicted. They're miserable. And the truth is, if you just step over and just trust God and live, you're not perfect. You're still going to struggle. You're still going to have difficulties, but you go on for God and you walk down the pathway of life as a pilgrim and a stranger in this world, and you honor God and the things of God, God's going to bless you. It's going to be so much better. The most unthankful people in the world are the most blessed people. Think of our nation. America is better off than 99% of the world. We've got so much, a land of abundance, land of privilege, so many freedoms, and we're the most unthankful people. In 1620, September the 6th, the Pilgrims left Plymouth, England, their destination, the New World, to a new life and the freedom of religion, filled with uncertainty, peril, and faith. 102 souls made a 2-month journey, braving the harsh Atlantic. On December 11th, before disembarking at Plymouth Rock, there's a reason for it being called that, Plymouth Rock, they signed the Mayflower Compact, America's first civil document. In the year 1789, President Washington made a proclamation on that November the 26th would be a day of thanksgiving to God above. Let me read exactly what he wrote, what he said. I've got it here. To be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all good that was, that is, and that will be. And to render to God our sincere and humble thanks. The next year, 1621, after the Pilgrims landed on Plymouth Rock, December the 13th, they had a 3-day feast. They invited the Indian king and 90 of his braves. And they feasted for 3 days and gave thanks to God for his abundant blessing and for life. All too many children of God don't know what it is to be thankful. All the blessings of God, oh, they're manifold. They're all around us. And we get up and live 24 hours and never talk to God. We get up and live 24 hours and never open the holy word of God so God can talk to us. We get up and we live for ourselves and consume upon our own fleshly lusts and leave God totally out of our lives. I call your attention to Psalm 26, and I pray that God will get a hold of our hearts as we study through these 12 verses. After by mercy being adopted into the family of God, after being given God's name, we're called Christians, little Christs. Our supreme goal ought to be to bless God, to honor God. This is our Thanksgiving holiday this Thursday, all day long. And we ought to be a thankful people for His blessings to us. We ought to live in such a way that God can bless us. Hey, you know how to bless God? It's real simple. And that's kind of the message of Psalm 26. Let me give you the background before I get to that. David is the author, or the writer here, God being the author, and David pens these words by way of inspiration. And we don't know the situation, but we do know this. It's a bad situation. It could have been at the assassination of Ishbosheth, and some were accusing David of being guilty of that. And David knew he wasn't guilty because he had been living a God-honoring life. So he pens the 26th Psalm. And I tell you again, it is worth it to live a righteous life. It is worth it to live a God-honoring life. Righteousness does win in the end. As a matter of fact, righteousness wins in the beginning and the middle and the end. And the way of the transgressor is hard. Jesus said, you take my yoke upon you, it is easy. Psalm 26 says, judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. Now, very simply, David is just saying he knows in his heart that he's been living right. He doesn't proclaim himself perfect here. That's not what's being said. He said, I'm striving to live a righteous life. God, you know that what they're saying I did not do. And there will always be slander if you strive to live for God. There'll always be those that'll throw mud in your direction and throw rocks at you at every chance they get. And David said, God, I've been guilty of a lot of things, but you know I'm not guilty of this. I'm striving to live right. Here's the point, by the way. Here's how you can bless God. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. Live right. Verses 1 through 6. Live a life that God can bless. Live right. Live righteously. Verse 2, he says, examine me, O Lord. Improve me. Try my reins and my heart. Threefold examination says, examine me, prove me, try me, or test me. My reins and my heart. Reins is an old Hebrew idiom. It was they felt back then that real emotions come from the guts, and it was just their way of expressing the heart. You know how sometimes you hear bad news and you get sick to your stomach? That's the expression where that comes from. He said, David said, God, you test me, you examine me, you try me, my innermost being. You know that right now, as I stand, I'm standing right before you. I'm trusting in your righteousness, and I am trying to do what's right. Listen, there's going to be difficulty and difficult times in your life. You need to be in a position where God can bless you. You'll do that by living right. Nobody here is ever going to say, by living right, you get your way to heaven. That's not how it works. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. This isn't salvation by good works. That's not what he's saying. But he said, if you live right, you'll be in the position that God can bless you when the difficulties come. And there were false accusations against David, but David was able to say to his God above, Lord, you know I'm striving to live for you. In fact, God, there might be some unclean way in me. You go ahead and you test me. You try me. You examine me. I don't want any dark corners. I don't want anything hid underneath a rug somewhere. He says in verse 3, for thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go with dissemblers. Vain people, worthless people, literally. Dissemblers, those that are devious. David said, I'm trying to do the right thing. He was practicing Psalm 1. He didn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of the scornful. David said, that's not where I'm at. You know, I'm not perfect, but that's not where I'm at. I'm really striving to be the right kind of king of Israel. And God, I'm trying to live that right life. David acknowledged that. David asked, he said, God, you know, I'm living a separated life. I'm not just spending my time with worthless people. Not that their soul is worthless. That's not what he's saying. He's saying their life is where they're living. No good comes from it. They're dissemblers. They're those that cause destruction. They're devious. They have cunning plans. I have hated the congregation of evildoers, and I will not sit with the wicked. So it was a continual thing. David said, God, I'm going to continue in this same mindset. I'm going to continue in the same path of life. Now, that's just the first point of the message, and it's just simply this: live right. And if you're doing that, God bless you. God has blessed you. God will continue to bless you. You got to say with David, David said, I'm going to continue to be that way. I'm going to be that Psalm 1 Christian, and I'm going to continue to do right no matter what befalls me. And then he says in verses 6 through 8, 6 again, and on through verse 8, don't only live right, but love right. I'm going to go back to that first point again. The devil will tell you, you cannot have fun being a New Testament Christian. The devil will tell you, you'll never be happy being a new, you give up too much being a disciple of Jesus Christ. And the devil, just like always, lies. He's lying to you right now. Don't buy into that. Don't go to that place, those fleshly lusts that war against the soul that we read about this morning in Sunday school. It'll tear you down. It'll steal your joy of God. Live right. Verse 6, I will wash mine hands in innocency, so will I compass thine altar, O Lord. He said, this is probably the ceremonial washing. He's referring to the tabernacle here. He said, man, I'm gonna hang out at the altar. I'm gonna hang out around God's work. Verse 7 says, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. Take your Bible, turn to the obvious passage. Go to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. Now understand what David is saying here. He's saying, I love the house of God. I love to be in the presence of God. I love to be at the altar. I love to be in the temple and worship and honor God. David, a man after God's own heart. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25 it reads as follows, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I know I read that verse a lot because it's so clear. It's like John 3:16. It's just crystal, crystal clear. The writer of Hebrews says, as we approach the last days, even though the early church was faithful to the New Testament local church, as we get closer to the second coming, as we get closer to the rapture, we need to be even more faithful to the local church and excite our brethren unto good works, because the church is God's idea. Now, Fundamental Baptist Church is an anomaly right now. Last Sunday night, we had a great crowd. You know how many churches in Chippewa County have a Sunday night service? I think it'd be good for you to check that out. Just do a little bit of research. The church in many quarters is going backwards. By the way, they stopped by ceasing Wednesday night and then Sunday night. Some of them no longer have Sunday school and they're in full retreat. God bless you people that came out last Sunday night. It was a great crowd. And the truth is, everybody needs to be here. Wednesday night prayer meeting, God bless you. Great work being done. We had a good prayer meeting crowd in spite of all else that's going on in the grounds. Truthfully, you count them up, near 300 people here on a Wednesday night. Now, not everybody's in prayer meeting. A lot of people are doing service in other ministries here in this church, right here on these grounds. We got a lot going on Wednesday night. But, man, God blesses that kind of thing. So right now, Fundamental Baptist Church is an anomaly. We're different. And we're doing it without the quote-unquote help of worldly methods. All right? So go back again to Psalm 26. Psalm 26. If you've left it already, back to it again. David loved his church. Ephesians 5. David loved the Bible. Psalm 138. You might check that out. And David loved souls. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. And we need to have that same love. We need to love the things of God. Love the things that God loves. Look at Psalm 95. Turn over there very quickly. Psalm 95. Verses 1 through 5. Make it 1 through 3. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. And the Lord is great, for the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. God is above and beyond. Simply put, verses 6 through 8 in Psalm 26, we need to love the things that God loves. I want to read it again. I'll wash my hands in innocency. So will I compass thine altar, O Lord, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. And we ought to love those very same things that God loves. So we need to live right. We need to love right. Love the things that God loves. And then lastly this morning, we need to stay right. Verse 9, gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, in whose hands is mischief, and their right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. My foot standeth in an even place. In the congregations will I bless the Lord. Stand in a place that God can bless. an even place. That speaks of stability. It speaks of an area that you can clear off and you can defend. It's a flat area where you have good footing. And that is needed in the battle that we fight. You need to know what you believe. You often hear me say and preach against the music of the culture because it's hedonistic and it appeals to the flesh. I'll make a statement right now and you hear me all the way through. I do believe in rock and roll. My feet are on the rock and my name is on the roll. That's the rock and roll that I believe in. You clear off an even space, you get good footing, and you stay your ground. This is what David is saying here. He's saying, I am going to stay and stand in an even place, in a place that God can bless. Let me read. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men. Verse 12, my foot standeth in an even place. In the congregations will I bless the Lord. Look at Ephesians 5:20. We're going to come back to Psalm 26, so hold your hand there. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20. Yeah, in the New Testament here. Oh, I got it now, I think. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Just turn back a few pages. 58th verse, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We need to be a thankful people. Thank God for his unspeakable gift, the gift of eternal life. Thank God for the fact that he guides us every step of our journey and provides for us every part of our pilgrimage. He provides that heavenly manna. That water from the rock. You honor God, your shoes don't wear out, your clothes don't wear out. Literally, God just takes care of us. He truly does. And the devil will tell you, if you serve God, you're going to be the loser. I don't care how loud the devil gets. Let God be true and all men a liar. The book is never going to change. And the promises of God are reality. I know because that's where I live. Many of you can testify to that. Say, how could I bless? I'd like to bless God after all he's done to me. Thanksgiving holiday. Man, all that he's done for me, I'd like to bless God. Well, here's how you bless God. If you love me, you keep my commandments. Live right. Live right. Number two, love right. Don't love the world, the things that are of the world. They're not of the Father. Love the things that God loves. Love the work of God. Love the people of God. And then continue. Stay right. Find an even place. Set your feet. And like David, you say, here I fix my foot, and it's not going to move. You honor God. That's the kind of life that's pleasing to God. I've already read 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. We are called to be steadfast. And unmovable. That doesn't mean rock-headed. We're standing on the rock. That doesn't mean you're ignorant and bully and bless God my way or the highway. It means you stand for truth. No matter what, how hard the rain falls, you stand for truth and you do not move. I have a lot to thank God for. We as a ministry, the ministry that God has given to us, we have a lot to thank God for. You know what? And I know everything doesn't always go right, not even in the preacher's home. But God is still good. And I know everything isn't right in America, but God is still right. And no matter what happens in the future, God is enough. We ought to be a people of thanksgiving. Our first president made a proclamation. Abraham Lincoln later on said it would be the last or the third Thursday, I think is what he said, of November every year. And it ought to be a time to thank God. Now, You got a family? They're saved? Thank God. They're not saved? Thank God and ask God to save them. You know, you've got coworkers? You got a job you hate, a job you love? Thank God. Some of us just need to put on our big boy boots and climb down from the high chair and live for God. You got a lot in life that God has called you to? 1 Peter tells us we're called to suffer. That's our calling. And in that, God gets glory as long as we suffer right. You know, so thank God. In everything, give thanks. That's what the scripture says. And I just wonder, as I close this message this morning, if we are thankful people. If we have enough vision to look at the look and see the blessings of God in our lives, and if we're thankful for it. Got another day of life. Don't know if we'll have the whole day, but we got a day right now. We got a moment. Thank God for that. You're a sinner saved by grace? Thank God for that. Because you're not going to hell. Oh, glory to God.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.